This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. So welcome everybody to another حلقة in our series منظومة أحسن الأخلاق. So the poem on the best of manners, the poem on the best of manners. And before we start, I just wanted to make the exciting announcement that most of you heard today, just in case those of you who weren't at Jum'ah, walillahi alhamd, the ISC, alhamdulillah, is in the process of purchasing a church in the south east location, Allahu Akbar. So inshallah, it's a church that it's in the south area around between... right after Chinook, so it's a very good location, Fairview. You know, the south area of the city doesn't really have many locations for Salah, for Khutab, etc. So inshallah, we're in the process of doing that. The purchase price was 2.6, as most of you heard. And alhamdulillah, we have a bit of a tight deadline, but I believe inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your support, bi'idhnillah, we can achieve that goal. And you can be from as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. So inshallah, if you like to donate, or not if you like, you should donate inshallah. Whoever builds a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house for them in Jannah. Tamam. And think of all the ajr that you get inshallah, every person that attends every salah, okay, every Ramadan, every anything that happens in the masjid, you will get a portion of that. You will get a portion of that bi'idhnillah. So whatever you can donate, if you want to donate online, you can just scan that code. Or you want to do an e-transfer, you can send it to that email right there, donation@isc.ca. طيب, let's begin, inshallah. طيب, تفضل يا عبد الواحد. Where's عبد الواحد? We're just going to read what we covered. So last time we covered from 1 to 12. From 1 to 12. Let's just read through them, inshallah. طيب, بسم الله. Those of you who have... yeah. If you want to follow with us on the phone, you can just scan that, bi'idhnillah. Tfadl, tfadl, bismillah.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi qad wahaba ibadahu al-muqarrabina li'adaba thumma as-salatu bis-salam taltaqi ala nabiyyina 'azim al-khuluqi wa ba'du. هاك أحسن الأخلاق يرقى بها صاحبها المراقي فأولا راع مع الله الأدب بترك الإثم وبفعل ما وجب وحسن ظن وتوكل رجا حب وتوحيد ومن خاف نجا
وقر نبيه
وعظم سنته قدم على كل الورى محبته وبر والديك ولتطعهما تفز وصل أيا بني الرحمة بجل كبيرا وارحم الصغيرا وساعد الضعيف والفقيرا وكن شجاعا صابرا كريما وشاكرا وفطنا حليما وذا أنات وحياء وارفق وكن أمينا وتواضع واصدق تحل بالعدل وبالإحسان والعفو والوفاء والإتقان صن اللسان واحفظ الجوارح أحب كل مسلم كن ناصحا.
جزاك الله خير. So this is what we covered last time. So we covered from 1 to from 1 to 12, from 1 to 12. So بإذن الله today we want to cover from 13 to 20. And inshallah next week we will try to finish it from 21 to 29. And يعني inshallah my goal is not to go over 50 minutes. بإذن الله. Okay, that's the goal. بإذن الله, we will achieve that. طيب, so let's read عبد الواحد from 13 to 20 inshallah. يلا. Yeah, to 20 inshallah.
تقبل النصح من الثقات وكن محافظا على الصلاة ووقتك اشغله بالانتفاع والمال فاحفظه عن الضياع بهمة تعلم المفيد وطالع الكتب المزيد واحترم الكتاب والمعلم وأكرمن ما استطعت العلماء أقبل وأنصتن للمحدث وقدم الأكبر في التحدد بالخير فانطقا وإلا فاصمت وقبل نقل خبر تثبت وقدما صلاة الاستخارة إذا هممت ثم الاستشارة وأتبع الخطأ باعتذار وأتبع الذنب بالاستغفار.
بارك الله فيك بالاستغفار. طيب جميل. So before we begin with the new ones, I need 5 آداب or أخلاق that we've covered last week. يلا بسم الله. يلا quick review. Give me 5. نعم. Because the goal of this is for us to apply these آداب. And if we don't remember them, okay, then how are we going to apply them? What are some of the آداب that we covered last time? نعم. What did we say? And here's where the benefit of memorizing the poem comes. صح؟ وكن نعم. تفضل in the back. Yes. Huh? صح. So we talked about the parents 2 weeks ago. صح أحسنت. Being good to your parents and following their نعم تفضل. نعم صابرا نعم كريمة أحسنت. نعم صبر and الكرم. What else? نعم. MashaAllah, ahsanti. Naam, al-ana, so someone who thinks things through. Al-hilm, someone who is very like patient, doesn't get angry right away. MashaAllah. Tayyib, good. And طبعاً, this is like I said, the benefit of memorizing this is that you can just quickly, because sometimes when you have so much information, like you just blank. But if you have it memorized, you just start reading, you're like, oh, okay, we have this. So that's one of the great benefits of memorizing something. Tayyib, let's start. Bismillah. So the next line, the poet, he says, تَقَبَّلِ النُّصْحَ مِنَ الثِّقَاتِ. And by the way, those who are memorizing, can I have a show of hands who are memorizing? I know some of you are memorizing. MashaAllah, one. خلاص, you automatically get the prize then. 2, MashaAllah, you're memorizing. So inshallah, next week we'll listen to you guys, بإذن الله, and we'll give our prize, بإذن الله. طيب. So the poet, he says, تَقَبَّلِ النُّصْحَ مِنَ الثِّقَاتِ. Okay, so remember last time he says, love your brother and give them advice. صح؟ أحب كل مسلم كن ناصحا. You should love every Muslim, and part of loving every Muslim is to give them نصيحة. صح؟ And just to connect this with this one, one of the issues is that sometimes we're too shy to give نصيحة. Isn't that right? So you see, and you know, they say الصديق, they call him صديق. What does صديق mean? What's a صديق? Huh? نعم أحسنتي. So صديق is what? A friend. نعم. And they call him صديق because he tells you the truth. Comes from the word صدق. Right? And so he tells you the truth whether it's nice or ugly. So if he sees you do something that is wrong, he'll tell you. Right? Not, oh, he might get hurt. خلاص, let him do it. No, that's not a true friend. All right? And that's not a true brother in Islam. إنما المؤمنون إخوة. That when you see them do something wrong, you tell them. Obviously, in the best way, but you tell them. But you tell them. So you give nasiha, but also what? We're all good at giving nasiha, but we're all bad at what? Accepting nasiha, right? We're very bad at accepting nasiha, and especially from those that might seem below us, right? So مثلا right now, if I do something wrong, yeah, or the sheikh is doing khutbah, right, or giving a speech or whatever, and someone from the crowd tries to correct them. Is he going to accept it, or is he going to be like, oh, who do you think you are? Right? Or a child corrects the parent. What's the parent going to do? Are they going to take the nasiha? Or the teacher, he says something wrong, and then the student says, teacher, that's actually incorrect. You know, science doesn't say this, blah, 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 blah. The teacher's going to accept it, like, oh. Usually what happens? The ego takes over. And so we don't like to accept nasiha. So he says, تَقَبَّلِ النُّصْحَ. Okay? Accept nasiha. Remember we talked about التواضع. What's التواضع? Being humble. Part of being humble is what? To accept the nasiha. Especially from those who might be below you, or younger than you, or less knowledgeable than you. Sahih? Or less knowledgeable than you. But you have to accept it not from anyone. From who? He says, مِنَ الثِّقَاتِ تَقَبَّلِ النُّصْحَ مِنَ الثِّقَاتِ. Who are الثِّقَات? Someone who's thiqa, someone who's trustworthy. Someone who is trustworthy. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So if I need advice on something that is halal or haram, do I go to an engineer? No, I go to a scholar. طيب, if I need advice, on my car, do I go to a dentist? صح, I go to dentist? طيب, we go to a mechanic, صح, someone who knows, right? So don't just take advice from anybody, tamam, but take advice and try to benefit from it. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to praise people who used to criticize him. He loved advice. يعني, constructive criticism is very beneficial, and it's something that you should be invited, something that you should like, should invite towards, right? Don't be the kind of person that always gets upset, because what's that going to do to you? It's going to actually make you a worse person. How? Because no one's going to give you advice. صح? No one's going to give you advice. So if you're the kind of person that's always like, no, that's not me, right? And this is one of the attributes of the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ what's the ayah? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Right? So from the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the hypocrites here, that you might like their speech, okay? But they are from the worst of people. وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. They're the people who's always argumentative and fighting with people, right? And when he goes around in his daily life, he's just causing fitna, spreading rumors, fighting with people, okay? And then, he's always trying to get involved in things. But then when you give him advice, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهُ, when it's said to him, fear Allah, أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. He gets arrogant. He's like, no, you اتَّقِ اللَّهُ. You see this all the time. You tell someone, يعني أخي اتَّقِ اللَّهُ, don't do that, don't do this. He says, no, it's none of your business. You don't know what's in my heart and all this gibberish. No, if someone tells you, gives you a nasiha, accept it, okay? Because this is a part of one of the characteristics of the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. And in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the most hated people to Allah is الْأَلَدَّ الْخَصِمْ. The one who's always argumentative and doesn't accept people's advice. Always just arguing. Oh no, that's not, so don't be that kind of person. So accept advice من الثقات, from the trustworthy people. And then he says, وَكُنْ مُحَافِظًا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. وَكُنْ مُحَافِظًا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. What does that mean, كُنْ مُحَافِظًا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ? يعني, take care of your salah. Now, the Nazim here, the author, he could be talking about what? Al-Fara'id or Al-Nawafil. Okay? If he's talking about the fara'id, obviously, hafiz ala salah, yani make sure you pray them, all five of them, and pray them on time. And pray them on time, right? Because some of us, we think that, oh, I'm taking care of my salah, and they pray them all yani, at the end of the day together, yani qada, and they think it's okay. No, salah, it has to be established on its time. Okay? And one of the most beloved acts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah in its prescribed time, in its earliest time. That's one of the most beloved acts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in Surah Al-Baqarah, حافظوا على الصلاة. And على الصلوات. The interesting thing about this ayah is that it comes in between which verses? Anybody know? Where's the Huffaz? Al-Talaq, yeah. So it's talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about talaq, divorce, and the difficulty of divorce. Al-Talaq marratan, and you do this and you do that. Then he says, حافظوا على الصلاة والصلاه الوسطى. So take care of your five daily prayers. And some of the ulama said because the salah is what helps you get over these difficult situations, right? Because another verse in Baqarah, Allah says, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah." Okay, seek help with patience and salah. والصلاه الوسطى, some ulama said as-salat al-wusta, the middle prayer is asr. Some said it is fajr. وقوموا لله قانتين. طيب, let's go to the next one. Then he says, ووقتك اشغله بالانتفاع بالانتفاع والمال فاحفظه عن الضياع. Now we're going to talk about two of the most precious things that we as human beings have after our deen. We've got our time and we've got our money, right? Time and money, really precious things. And two of the biggest excuses for people to not do anything. You tell them, brother, do this, I don't have enough money. Register for this, I don't have enough money. Go get an education, I don't have enough money. Or, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. So the author is saying, وَوَقْتَكَ, your time, اشغله بالانتفاعي. And we know how, يعني, what a big topic time is. يعني, I don't have to tell you, Allah swears by so many different signs in the Quran. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ, right? والنهار والعصر, the surah that Imam Shafi'i said that it would have been enough if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only revealed it. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time. Okay? Time that is running away from us, right? It's the most precious thing that we have. Right? والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر. So time is so precious. And unfortunately, now يعني, every time a day goes by, يعني, people are coming up with ways to waste time. There are so many ways to waste your time. And one of the most things I hate to hear from people is, I'm so bored, I don't know what to do. If they only knew how much work needs to be done, right? And so time is very precious. So he says, وَوَقْتَكَ اجْغَلْهُ بِالْإِتِفَاعِ, right? Make sure you're doing something beneficial. Don't waste your time. Because whatever passes, like today, this Friday, okay, is never going to come back. Khalas, it's gone. And the reality is that we're going to be asked about every second of what happened today. Right? And so you need to think about, how am I investing my time? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to be asked about all that time. Right? So, وَوَقْتَكَ اشْغَلْهُ بِالْإِنْتِفَاعِ. Right? And then he says, وَالْمَالَ فَحْفَظْهُ عَنِ الضَّيَاعِ. Your wealth. Another thing that people waste and they don't think about it. Right? And subhanAllah, you need wealth when you don't have it. Right? And so people don't think, you know, I need to save, invest in my future. I need to spend my money in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stop wasting money on useless things. Nowadays, with the online world, yeah, and one easy click, you can just be purchasing things for no reason. And the sad part is everybody, or a lot of people, are buying things on debt. SubhanAllah. And then they complain that we're in debt. And they're just purchasing things they don't need. Right? And we'll justify it, and we'll say, oh no, I really need the new iPad, because I won't be able to study without getting the new iPad. Or I really need the latest iPhone 14, because without it, I'm not going to be able to, you know, wake up for Salah, or some silly excuse like that, right? And so he says, your money, you know, don't just waste it. Don't just spend it on useless things. You find people wasting money on, like, games online. And then you look at how much they spent. Oh, they spent, like, $1,000 on just games. Ajib. And I've seen people like that, young people, spend money for no reason. Right? And then sometimes when we have some money saved, oh, it's time to go on vacation. And do you really need to go on vacation and spend your money? Have you done Umrah? Have you done Hajj? You know, does your relative need money? Think about how you spend your money. Think about how you spend your money. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ says, and we all know this hadith, take advantage of five before five. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, take advantage of these five things before other five things. The first one is your youth before you're old. And subhanAllah, like, يعني, as the poet says, يَا لَيْتَ الشَّبَابَ تَعُودُ يَوْمًا فَأُخْبِرُهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمَشِيبُ. I wish that, يعني, I could go back to my youth so I can tell them, يعني, how much time I've wasted. And so when you get old, you realize how much time you had when you're young, right? And when you get married, you realize how much time you had when you were single. Right? And when you start working, you realize how much free time you had when you were in university. But the guy in university says, I don't have time. Ajib. Right? And so Take care of your youth before you get old. SubhanAllah, when you're young, you have so much time. We don't realize it. And that's why for the parents, things like Hafz al-Quran and stuff, take advantage of this time. Because it's not easy for someone to مثلا, memorize the Quran when they get old. You get busy and you have to be really like organized. So take advantage of your youth before your old age, before you're too old to do something. Right? Before you're too old to do something. And then he says, your health before your illness. Take care of your health before you get sick. We're all one day going to get sick. Right? And sicknesses are different levels. Sometimes you're sick for a few days. Sometimes it's chronic and you can't even... You need someone to take care of you. And so take care take advantage of your health. Do as much khair as you can. As the Prophet ﷺ says, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ. Hasten towards doing good deeds. And then take advantage of your rich before you become poor. Right? Just because you have money right now, who told you tomorrow you're going to have money? Who told you tomorrow you're going to have money? Maybe tomorrow you're going to be broke. So take advantage of that. And then he says, your free time before you get busy. Right? Right now you might have a lot of free time, and then a time is going to come when you get really busy and you wish you could use that free time for something beneficial. And then he says, take advantage of your life before your death. Take advantage of your life before, and we don't know when we're going to die, subhanAllah. Yeah, the people in the earthquake, that Allah subhanAllah took their lives, were they expecting it? Did they plan it? Yeah, did they have a schedule? They thought that they were going to live for longer, but subhanAllah, that's life. And so we always have to live. When it comes to khayrat, to good deeds, the ulama says, when it comes to doing good deeds, you hasten. You do it fast. As if you are going to die tomorrow. But when it comes to the worldly matters, you deal with them as if you have all your life to live. Right? And that's why we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the one who has ana. The one who thinks things through. You have a job, opportunity, or which university you're going to go. No problem, think about it. But when it comes to khayrat and good deeds, you don't have to think twice. Just do it. Just do it. Take advantage of that. طيب. We go now to line 15. He says, بِهِمَّةٍ تَعَلَّمِ الْمُفِيدَ بِهِمَّةٍ تَعَلَّمِ الْمُفِيدَ وَطَالِعِ الْكُتْبَةَ الْمَزِيدَ. So now he's saying, learn what is beneficial and have that eagerness to do that. And subhanAllah, like for me personally, this is something that kind of changed my life. When you really understand, when you kind of change your philosophy about life, and you realize that, you know, there's two kinds of people in this life. الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They're not the same. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are the ones who have knowledge and know things, are they like the same, are they the same as the people who don't know? They're not the same. Right? And so you realize in this life that if you want to move ahead of people, if you want to be ahead of people financially, spiritually, physically, whatever it is you can think of in this life, then you need to learn. You need to have that philosophy that I want to be someone who's always trying to learn. And so when you have that kind of mentality, whatever opportunity presents itself for you to learn, you learn. Right? As soon as you're able to get your driver license, get it. Right? If you don't know how to swim, go learn how to swim. Okay? If you have an opportunity to go learn how to ride a horse or something, go learn it. So have that kind of mentality where you're always trying to learn. And you'll see that you're always going to be ahead of people. You're always going to be ahead of people. And this is something part of the Muslim character. That they're always trying to learn and to have that himmah. When you realize the qeemah of knowledge, yani how high Islam puts knowledge and how beneficial knowledge is, then you will have that eagerness, that himmah. So have that eagerness to learn. Don't be someone who's like, whatever, and they just waste their time video games, watching TV, and then they, their life just goes by, all of a sudden they're 40 living in their mom's basement. Don't be that kind of person. Be the kind of person that learns and improves in their life. And then he says, تَعَلَّمْ الْمُفِيدَ. Because al-ilm can be what? Beneficial and non-beneficial. Right? Right? So the Prophet used to seek protection from ilmun la yanfa. Right? The Prophet ﷺ used to ask Allah to protect him from knowledge that doesn't benefit. Now this could mean two things. There could be knowledge in and of itself, it's not beneficial. Like what? What's an example of that? That's for the... So she says, some parents, they pay for their kids to learn piano. Okay. علم لا ينفع. No benefit And wallahu alam, it could be sinful. What's another example, Abdurrahman? Guitar? Yeah, so yeah, so sometimes people just waste their time like about TV shows and what's going to happen, and I wonder what's, and then they write blogs and yeah, just things that have no benefit. So that's an example. Astrology, learning about astrology and the zodiacs and things that don't have no benefit. Absolutely no benefit. Another way you could understand this is ilm that actually is beneficial, but because the way you interact with it is, has no benefit. What does that mean? What does that mean? مثلاً you learn the fiqh of salah, or you learn here this poem. Okay, خلاص, you know that you should have sidq, you should be honest, you should be patient, tamam, you should be good to your neighbor, and then you go home and you're rude to your neighbor, tamam. So this is ilm la yinfa. How is that beneficial to you? You know it, but you don't use it, right? And so this is very dangerous. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ would seek protection from that. Okay, so make sure you learn beneficial knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet ﷺ to ask him to increase him in knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Of course, عِلْمًا نَافِعًا. Then he says, وَطَالِعِ الْكُتْبَ تَنَى الْمَزِيدًا. Okay, and if you want more, then read. And subhanAllah, يعني reading is a very interesting topic. طبعاً the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the du'as, and this is an amazing du'a for you to memorize. The Prophet ﷺ would say every morning, he would say, اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. Oh Allah, I ask you a beneficial knowledge, okay? ورزقا طيبا, good provision, okay? وعملا متقبلا, and deeds that are accepted. And so this is a du'a that we should all memorize. اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. What's the first ayah that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ? تفضل عبد الرحمن. اقرأ, صح؟ اقرأ. And that's not by coincidence, right? And reading, اقرأ means read, right? Or recite. And subhanAllah, if you realize how, يعني what a big deal reading is. And subhanAllah, we live in an age now that there's so many books being printed, but very few people read. And I want you to think about what reading does to a person. Anybody here ever write a book? Write a book? Anybody write a book? You wrote a book, mashallah?
Yeah.
How many pages?
10.
10, okay, mashallah. Type. That's good, mashallah. 10 pages. Tadda.
I don't know how many pages, but I've got lots.
You wrote lots of books? Mashallah, we have an author here. Mashallah. Are you selling them or? Type. We'll talk. You wrote a book? You wrote a book? MashaAllah. So writing books takes a long time. Yeah, of course it gives you knowledge, but writing books is difficult, right? And you see, ask an author who's published a book, 200-page book, and it takes time. And the interesting thing about a topic, like let's say someone writes a book about, for example, the famous book that people like to read about interactions with people, right? How to win friends and influence people. مثلا, it had the Carnegie. So this book became a very famous book. What made it so amazing is the author, he's putting down his like 20 or 30 year experiences into one book. Tamam? And so you as a reader, you don't have to live 30 years, okay, and teach public speaking and all interact with people. You can gain all the good things that he learned in just a couple hours, subhanAllah. And so imagine, so you're getting this 20 year experience on top of your age. Imagine you read a book every month. By the end of the year, you would have, yani, how many years more experience than your counterpart? So see the effect of what books have on people. And then you have a person who doesn't read. And subhanAllah, yani, I read this statistic that most college graduates don't even read a book after they graduate. Imagine those who didn't even go to college. And so most people don't read. If you want to go ahead in life, make sure that reading is part of your daily habits. Even if it's not daily, okay, read. Whatever it is. And of course, try to read beneficial books in deen, in health, etc. But you'll see how it changes your life. It changes your life. طيب, then he says, وَاحْتَرَمِ الْكِتَابَ. طيب, when it comes to knowledge, okay, Al-Islam respects knowledge. It gives it a high place. And so, The book, you have to respect it, right? Sometimes you see people, they just throw their books, whatever. There's like oil stains on them, coffee stains, they're bent, you know. So we have to respect knowledge and we have to respect the books. So he says, وَاحْتَرِمِ الْكِتَابَ, right? Respect the books. Okay, put them in a nice place. Take care of them. Tamam? When you write notes, don't just scribble everywhere. Take care of your book. وَاحْتَرِمِ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمُعَلِّمَ, and respect your teacher. Yeah, and your teacher is, he's the one that's giving you the knowledge, right? And so respect them. Respect them by sitting properly, right? Respect them by listening. Respect them by actually applying what you are learning. Tamam? Don't talk when they're talking. So these are all things that you can do to respect the teacher. He says, وَأَكْرِمَنَّا مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ الْعُلَمَاء, and try as best as you can to honor the ulama. Try as best as you can to honor the ulama. Nowadays we have people that just talk bad about the ulama just because they disagree with their opinion. Subhanallah. And one interesting thing, one of the ulama, he said, Allah the Prophet told us that even the fish in the ocean, they make istighfar for the ulama, right? As mentioned in the hadith. And then you have people backbiting and cursing them. Subhanallah. Right? And so as much as you can, respect the ulama. And if they made a mistake, that's okay. They're human beings. They're not prophets. They make mistakes. And if you don't agree with an opinion of theirs, that's fine. That doesn't mean you disrespect them. That doesn't mean you disrespect them. Right? And we know in our history, so many bad things happen where people will not talk to someone who's Shafi'i. The Maliki will not talk to the Hanafi. And there was one time in the Haram where there was like different prayers for different madhahib. Ajib hada, right? And people talking about, what's the point of your knowledge if you're going to disrespect the people of knowledge? If you're going to disrespect the people of knowledge. Ahmad Shawqi, they call him the Amir al-Shu'ara, right? The prince of the poets. He has a nice line of poetry. He says, قُمْ لِلْمُعَلِّمِ وَفِّهِ التَّبْجِيلَ كَادَ الْمُعَلِّمُ أَنْ يَكُونَ رَسُولًا. So he's saying, stand up and give respect and reverence for your teacher. He says, كَادَ الْمُعَلِّمَ أَنْ يَكُونَ رَسُولًا. Right? The mu'allim, he's almost taken the place of a prophet because he's the one that given you the knowledge. He's the one that is transferring you his knowledge to you. So give him respect, right? Nowadays, subhanAllah, people don't respect their teachers, right? They talk back to their teachers, they don't respect them. And it's a sad situation. Okay, so part of the Muslim character is to have respect for the teacher, even if you don't agree with them. But what if they're rude to you? Even if they're rude to you, okay, be respectful. Be respectful to the muallim. To the muallim. طيب, then he says, we've covered, mashallah, up to 46. طيب, Jameel. Then he says, what happened here? Now. طيب, he says, number 17, he says, أَقْبِلْ وَأَنْصِتَنَّ لِلْمُحَدِّثِ وَقَدِّمِ الْأَكْبَرَ فِي التَّحَدُّثِ. So now this could be related to your teacher or to the scholar, or it could be in general. Okay, if we're talking about the teacher, when you're sitting in front of your teacher learning, he says, أَقْبِلْ وَأَنْصِتَنَّ لِلْمُحَدِّثِ. Okay, sit straight in front of them and face them. Don't give them your back. Right? It's not appropriate. It's not good adab. It's not good manners to give your back to your teacher, or to put your feet in front of them, right? And so you should face them, right? I remember when I was taking some lessons in Masjid al-Nabawi, Sheikh al-Usaymi, he would have a lesson, and if you've been to Masjid al-Nabawi, where do they do the halaqat? Right? There's a chair, right? Usually there's a chair, and the scholar sits there, and then people sit around him. But because it was such a big gathering, students would sit where? Okay, they would sit behind the Sheikh. It's a big area. And so there'd be a chair, and then the students who come first, they come like 3 hours early, so you can't even beat them, right? So they come sit in front of the Sheikh, right? And it gets full. And then, of course, there's people praying, Masjid Nabawi, right? And so there's no place. So a lot of the students, I was one of them once, would sit behind the Sheikh, and the Sheikh wouldn't like it. Initially, I would say to myself, okay, where do you want us to sit, okay? But if that's the request of the teacher, you should follow it. So he would say, I don't like when people sit behind me. Okay? The students should sit in front of the teacher. And then when he's speaking, You listen, okay? You listen. You're not on your phone, right? Unless you have an emergency, right? You're not talking to your friend. You're not daydreaming, okay? So he said, أقبل وأن سلطان المحدثي وقدم الأكبر في التحدثي. Now this can be in general as well. When you speak to someone, al-adab, when you speak to someone, what should you do? You guys tell me. Yani, when someone is speaking to you, what would you like them to do? Huh? Let's get some. Hanna. What do you want someone to do? Do you want them to face you or to look the other way? To face you, right? So when you're talking to someone, you want them to face you. Yani, don't be sideways, right? Don't be on your, the biggest problem, the phone. So you see people scrolling, and the person is talking to you, and he's talking to you, and you're scrolling. And this is qillat adab. This is bad manners, right? If you're going through something, right? First of all, if you're going through something and somebody comes to you, okay, what happens here? You guys tell me. You're on your phone. I'm on my phone right now. And then someone comes to me. Okay, should I put my phone down or should he wait? Ma ra'yukum? Tafaddal. Put my phone down. No. He waits. But anybody else? We have difference of opinion. No. I'm on my phone. And why does he have to come? Yani, if I'm reading a book and someone comes to me, I close my book. Allahu a'lam. I'm not sure. But if someone's doing something short, tamam, ask permission. Ask permission, صح? Yeah. Do you have a minute? That's a good one. طبعاً, if I'm on my phone and you know it's gonna take a second, just wait, tamam. And طبعاً, he will see you come, and you on your phone, you should tell him, give me a second. I'm gonna finish this. Okay, and then finish and then talk to them. But don't talk to them while they're, go ahead, That's not nice, صح? So you want them to face you, okay? What else? What else when you want someone? Eye contact, صح? Eye contact. Sometimes, especially when you say salam to someone will be like, right? So, and we all do that, right? And sometimes people get offended, and they have the right to do that. So when you speak to someone, face them, okay? Eye contact, right? What else? Anybody? Yalla, different people. Ahsant, smile. Ahsant, of course, smile. Tamam. Sometimes when someone talks to us, we don't listen. Right? And sometimes if you're having a discussion and someone's talking, what does the other person do? Interrupt. That's one thing you shouldn't do. Ahsant. Ahsant. From the adab is to let them finish. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, okay, when one of the leaders of Quraysh was talking to him, okay, he waited for him until he finished his afaragta, are you done? And then he spoke. So this is from the adab. Okay, what else? Sometimes when someone's speaking, we're thinking about how to reply. So we don't actually listen to them. You don't even know what they just said. But you're already preparing a reply on maybe something they said before. And so this is not from adab. From adab is to actually, to listen. Just listen to them, eye contact, give them full attention. Okay, and the other adab is وَقَدِّمِ الْأَكْبَرَ فِي التَّحَدُّثِ. And we talked about this, that if we're in a gathering, okay, let the elder speak first. Yeah, everybody likes to talk, okay? But out of good adab is you let the elders talk. So you're with your family and the grandfather's there, you let the grandfather speak first. You're there in a gathering and the uncle's there. I don't care if you're a doctor, I don't care if you're a PhD, let the older speak first. This is from the adab, because we said bajil kabiran before. We said, right, revere and respect the elders. And the Prophet said, there are not from us those who don't respect our elders. Tamam? And so you let the, and we said the story of Ibn Umar, when one time he was sitting with the Sahaba, and he was a young boy, and the Prophet ﷺ was asking for an answer. And he knew it, but he didn't want to speak because Abu Bakr and his father Umar was there, and Uthman, and so he was too shy. He didn't want to speak ahead of the older Sahaba. طيب, so we said face the person, turn off your phone, okay? Listen and give full attention, right? Don't think of the reply, and let the older speak first. Jameel. طيب, we go to etiquette number 51. طيب, we go, he says, بِالْخَيْرِ فَانْطِقًا وَإِلَّا فَصْمُتِي وَقَبْلَ نَقْلِ خَبَرٍ تَثَبَّتِي. طيب. Now we go to the etiquettes of speaking. Okay? So the author says, he says, speak good or else remain silent. Where did he get this from? Mil hadith. What's the hadith? Man kana yu'minu billahi falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, then let him just speak good or be quiet, right? And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his sharh of, because this is from the 40 Nawawiyya, sah? From the 40 Hadith Nawawi, he says that, when explaining this hadith, he says that if you have something and you're not sure if it has any benefit, don't say it. And this is very difficult, right? Because sometimes we just want to say something. And many times we speak without thinking. And that's why a Muslim should be someone who has anah. We talked about anah, right? Equanimity or whatever the English was, where a person thinks before they act, thinks before they speak, right? So you should be someone who thinks before they speak. If you have something good to say, say it. Like, what if it's quiet and awkward, right? Sometimes you're like, I have to say something. Yeah, you don't have to say something, okay? If there's no, what's the problem? Because everything you say, you're going to be asked about, right? So don't be someone who just says things, okay? بِالْخَيْرِ فَانْتِقَنْ. Okay, if there's good, if you have something good to say, say it. Or else, فَاسْمُطِي. Just be quiet, just, right? And this is very rare for people to just be quiet. They find it awkward. No, it's not awkward. Yeah, and if you don't have anything good to say, خلاص. Or come up with something good to say. Come up with something good to say. And then he says, وَقَبْلَ نَقْلِ خَبَرٍ تَثَبَّتِي. And before you spread news, confirm it. طبعاً the hadith we mentioned, okay, عن أنس رضي الله عنه, he says, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. That whoever believes in Allah and the last day must either speak good or remain silent. طيب, we're doing good. And then he says, okay, so this is a big problem. So many times when we hear a news, what happens? We just spread it. مصيبة يعني. We hear something. And now with WhatsApp and Telegram? Yeah, Telegram and whatever messenger, and people just spread. Ajib, yani. And we have to be careful. So before, when you get a news of something, okay, he says, وَقَبْلَ نَقْلِ خَبَرٍ تَثَبَّتِي. Okay, where's he getting this from, by the way? طيب. He says, تَبَيَّنُوا. طبعاً the ayah, Allah subhanahu says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ. What surah is that? حُجُرَات. أحسن. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O believers, if an evil doer comes to you with any news, then verify it. Verify it, right? And many of us, we don't do that. And I know I'm telling you this and you're like, yeah, I know someone. But think about yourself. How many times you've forwarded something without confirming it? I remember in the university, one of the things that the students loved is when there was a sandstorm. Because sandstorm means no school, right? And back in the, like, in the beginning when I started studying there, it was very easy for them to just cancel school. Just if you just see some dust, khalas, no school. They would always share these videos of, like a sandstorm coming from outside the city, right? And طبعاً, have you, anybody here been in a sandstorm or witnessed one? Huh? Naam. So it's very you can't see anything. It's almost like the blizzards that we have here. You literally can't see anything. So one time somebody shared a video, and it was like a video, and it was like this, the place was orange, you know. طبعاً, some of the sand in Saudi Arabia and other countries is orange, right? And so they sent a picture of it's like orange, and you know, it looks like a sandstorm, and they started sharing it. Like, it's coming, and it's close, coming to us, right? And then everybody shared it. Everybody shared it, and you know, khalas, canceled school. The school was canceled. It ended up being like some guy, he blew a balloon, an orange balloon, yeah? And he took a picture, and he made it look like it's a sandstorm. Right? But nobody checked it, tamam? And they just spread it, and nowadays, subhanAllah, with technology, you know, you have people who take videos and they change the face and they change what's being said, and it looks real. Like, I forgot the name of this. Anybody know, what do they call that? Photoshop. Huh? No, not Photoshop. There's something else. No, there's something else where they literally take and they make up faces of people that never existed. Anyways. Allah alam, I forgot the name. But now they can actually, and they'll make a video of someone saying something and they actually never actually said it. Yeah, so you'll see مثلا, a video of President Fulan, and he's saying something, and then the person will be like, oh, subhanAllah, I knew he was, and then they'll share it, and then it spreads. And make sure you check, right? And we become very impulsive at doing that, at sharing without checking. Where does he get the word tathabbati? Because in another qira'ah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْجَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَثَبَّتُوا. In another qira'ah in the Quran, he says, فَتَثَبَّتُوا, يعني be firm, يعني confirm what came to you. فَتَثَبَّتُوا. طيب. So verify. If you get some kind of news, verify. Right? And don't just spread it. Even subhanAllah today, I think it was a mistake by the brother, but somebody sent about the new masjid that 1.5 million was already paid. SubhanAllah. And so now someone, if they don't confirm that and share it, خلاص, now by next week, the masjid is paid. And we haven't even paid that. So we have to be very careful about spreading information. طيب. Jameel, we're almost done. وَقَدِّمَنْ صَلَاةَ الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ إِذَا هَمَمْتَ ثُمَّ الْإِسْتِشَارَةِ. طيب, let's do this. So, الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ, what's الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ? يلا, 10 minutes, we'll finish. What's الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ? Sisters, what's الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ? So, الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ, when do we do it? But why do we do istikhara? Yeah, so you have مثلا two options, okay? And you are not 100% sure which one, or you're leaning towards one, but you're not really sure if it's good for you or not. And so what do you, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is a hadith from Jabir, he said the Prophet ﷺ used to teach us this istikhara, salat istikhara, to show you how important this is, just like he used to teach us a surah. Right? And so it was something that was part of their day-to-day life. Okay? And the Prophet said, when one of you is concerned with something, they're not sure what to decide, let them pray two rak'ahs and then do this dua. Do this dua. And this is dua that you should memorize. If you don't have it memorized, just pick up your phone and read it. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi ilmuka wa astaghfiruka bi qudratika. So basically, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His knowledge, okay? With His power, okay? To let something happen if it's good for you. So let's say, مثلا, you have been accepted to, mashallah, Harvard, and what's another university? Yeah. UFC. that's too easy. طيب, you've been accepted to Harvard or Yale. Yalla, two Ivy Leagues. So you're not sure which one to choose. You're leaning toward Harvard, but it's too expensive. Tamam? So you kind of lean, طبعاً, istikhara, you're naturally going to lean towards one of them. It's impossible that you're almost the same. If you're still almost the same, then you should do more research. So you're leaning towards one of them. So let's say you're leaning towards Harvard. So now you go pray istikhara and you're saying, oh Allah, basically the dua, oh Allah, if this is good for me, for my deen and for my dunya and everything else, then let it happen. Yani make it easy to happen. And if it's not good, push it away from me. So you're technically waiting for something to happen now. And this is really nice for those of you who do it. You understand what I'm talking about, because it gives you comfort, right? It gives you comfort. You're like, alhamdulillah, khalas. Allah chose this, so it must be good. Now, let's say you chose Harvard. The next morning, you get a call. We didn't, we ran out of spots or something. Oh, whatever. Yani your mom gets sick and you have to stay with her in the city. Tamam? What do you understand from that? That it was not good for you. And you're very content and you go to Yale very happy. But someone who doesn't do istikhara, yani, even if Harvard didn't work out, they might try again for it. And then if they go to Yale, they might be very sad and regretful. Do you understand how important istikhara is? So istikhara actually guides the person. And then he said, so qaddiban, do istikhara first. He says, then do istishara. Then do al-istishara. What is istishara? Istishara is consultation. And the ulama, they say, you consult if you're still not sure. And so after you do istikhara, you ask people, you still ask people, right? You ask people, those who have knowledge, right? Those who know, okay? And so, and this is something that is part of our sunnah, part of our deen, is to always consult those who have knowledge, okay? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding who? The Prophet to consult the Sahaba. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Right? Because sometimes even this, the Prophet wasn't really sure what's the best way to do this. If it wasn't something straight wahi, okay? He doesn't know, should we stay in the city? Should we march forward? Right? So he would consult the Sahaba. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ. Once you make a decision, then have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. So when do we consult others? Right? If something is unclear. But if something is clear, do you need to consult someone? مَا يَحْتَاجُ. Okay? You don't need to consult someone. But if you're still not sure, like if you know people, مثلاً, who went to Harvard, go ask them, obviously. Consult them, ask them, okay, what do you think? Was it worth it? Were you able to finance it? You know, did you get a job right away? Is this the best way to do it? So you do that. You do istishara. You do istishara. And there's a beautiful lines of poetry where the poet, he says, شَاوِرْ سِوَاكَ إِذَا نَابَتْكَ نَائِبَةٌ. Right? So he says, do shura, consult those who have knowledge, يعني those who are at your level. Okay? إِذَا نَابَتْكَ نَائِبَةٌ يَوْمًا وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَشُورَاتِ. Even if you are from those people who people come to consult. Because sometimes we think, mashallah, khalas, you know, people come ask me for advice and consultation. I don't need consultation. No, everybody needs consultation. Even the Prophet ﷺ needed to consult his companions. Okay? So he says, even if you are from أهل المشورات, you are from the people who people ask advice for. فَالْعَيْنُ تَنْظُرُ مِنْهَا مَا دَانَ وَنَأَى. مَا دَنَى وَنَأَى. So he says, the eye can see, okay, مَا دَنَى, what's close and what's far. The eye can see what's close and what's far, okay. وَلَا تَرَى نَفْسَهَا إِلَّا بِمِرْآتِ. But the eye cannot see itself. يعني you don't see yourself. You don't see what's missing from you. You don't see these things except with a mirror. What's the poet saying? يعني, there are things that you don't see about yourself, about your life, okay? Because you see things from your perspective. But other people can tell you things about yourself. You know, maybe you consult someone, they'll tell you, listen, bro, you know, you don't have the money for this. You don't have $100,000 a year to go to school. I don't think it's worth it for you. Maybe go to this option, right? Maybe they'll see things from different perspectives. Or they'll tell you, مثلاً, the Islamic environment there is not good. Or they tell you, مثلاً, oh, you're going to engineering, you don't have to go there, go to this one, it's better. Tamam? You don't see these things, other people see them. طيب. And the last one, he says, وَأَتْبِعْ الْخَطَأَ بِاعْتِذَارِ. Okay? Good. وَأَتْبِعْ الْخَطَأَ بِاعْتِذَارِ. This is the last one. He says, when you make a mistake, apologize. And how hard is that? صح? And this is something that, this is part of tawadu. That when you make a mistake, ask people for forgiveness, right? Don't let your ego get in the way. Don't let your ego get in the way. And again, I'm going to mention, especially if you wronged someone that's maybe below you. This is tough. يعني imagine a teacher wronged his student. Is he going to apologize or is ego going to get in the way? Tamam. One of the compilers of hadith, refuted or corrected by somebody, right? Al-Hakim, I believe, one of the compilers of hadith, rahimahullah, he was refuted or corrected by somebody. And when he was corrected, okay, he sent like a gift to this person who corrected him. And so this person who corrected him and he received the gift, he said, I was so amazed from that, I realized that he's one of the intelligent people. Yeah, because when you make a mistake, yes, apologize. يعني admit that you made a mistake, right? And sometimes our ego gets in the way and we don't want to apologize, right? Married couples, brother, sister, right? Especially family. You don't want to show that you're less and we see it as a sign of weakness. No, you should. Because remember this whole issue about adab and akhlaq is that people will wrong others and then the person will take the right on the day of judgment. And so, you know, ask for forgiveness here, okay? And from adab, from good manners and from tawadu is to accept the apology. This is another issue. You go to someone, you wrong them, and you say, I'm sorry. You know, I called you a name yesterday and I shouldn't have. Okay? And then the person's like, no, I'm not accepting your apology. You shouldn't do that. If a person is sincere in their apology, you should accept their apology. Yeah, because we have people now that are like, no, I'm not going to, Yom Al-Qiyamah, I'll take it back Yom Al-Qiyamah. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't, because if you deal with people like that, then people will deal with you like that. Okay, so when you make a mistake, ask for forgiveness. Okay, ask for forgiveness. وَأَتْبِعِ الذَّنْبَ بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And when you commit a sin, then follow it with istighfar right away. Okay? As the hadith mentions, there's an angel there. If you ask for forgiveness, he deletes it right away. As soon as you ask for forgiveness, he deletes it. وَأَتْبِعِ الذَّنْبَ بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And part of staying steadfast on the straight path that we ask for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day is al-istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ. Then be steadfast towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what? وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. And ask for forgiveness, right? Because we cannot stay on the straight path 100% all the time. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Istaqimu walan tuhsu." Try to be steadfast, but you will never be able to be perfect. Okay? And to counter that, what do we do? Al-istighfar. Al-istighfar is part of that. Right? So don't let your ego get in the way. Apologize. And sometimes apologize even if you're wrong. Subhanallah. Why? Because sometimes there's a maslaha. There's a benefit. Right? And so sometimes مثلا, husband and wife to get into a fight, and maybe you're on the right, okay, but you know that this is going to solve a problem, so just apologize, right? And then the person after calms down, they apologize, right? And so sometimes apologize even if you're wrong, if there's a maslah, if there's like a benefit from it, right? I'll finish with this verse طبعاً about istighfar, right? When you commit a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talks about the muttaqeen, He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. The muttaqeen are also those, he mentioned good traits, but he says, the muttaqeen are also those that commit fahisha, right? They commit evil deeds, okay? And they also wrong themselves. But the unique thing about them, they remember Allah, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Then they actually make istighfar. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who else is going to forgive except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And they do their best not to go back to what they did, right? وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. طيب. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that he seeks forgiveness. Who's this? The Prophet ﷺ, right? يعني his sins are forgiven already, right? But he asked for forgiveness over 100 times a day. Right? And so al-istighfar should always be on our tongue. And what's another benefit of having dhikr and istighfar on your tongue? You're going to have less bad talk. Remember we said, speak good. And so the ulama, they say, try to have dhikr on your mouth, on your tongue. Why? Because can someone swear when they're doing dhikr? Right? Can they curse someone? La. So if you're always consistently doing dhikr, then you won't, you're less likely to speak ill of people. Allahu Akbar. See, we did it. Alhamdulillah. Less than an hour. MashaAllah. Any questions? So inshallah, the goal is to finish. Yeah, tafaddali. Now. Tafaddali. Somebody wronged you. Now. Can you still get it back from them? طبعاً, we can't 100% know sincerity, but I understand what you mean. Sometimes, يعني, there's signs that someone is not sincere, but we can't really go inside someone's heart and check. So you do your best. You fight yourself to forgive them because you want Allah to forgive you. This is the point. طبعاً, if someone wronged you and they keep wronging you, there's other things like, if they keep wronging you, stay away from them. You don't have to, right? But if someone asks for forgiveness, then accept the forgiveness. يعني, wallahu alam, accept the forgiveness. And don't worry about getting back. يعني, you forgive them, Allah will forgive you. So inshallah, you're winning يعني, both situations. بإذن الله. Wallahu alam. Any other questions? It's a good question now. If you are not?
Looking. But in Islam, it's not allowed even to look. I mean, the elderly, we have to look down and listen to them, what they are saying.
talking to you to the parents. You have to do like that.
And so you're talking like in case it's a female, yani, مثلا. Or in general, if it's a female or just in general you're talking about?
No, I mean, I'm talking in general.
Ah, in general, type.
So, I mean, it means that the respect to your parents and the elderly, it's not to look directly. You have to look down.
So this can cut, yani, part of cultures, yani, and urf, is that so yes, and actually even the sahaba, yani, radiyallahu anhum, when they were asked to describe the Prophet, some of them said, I can't describe him because I couldn't, yani, I couldn't look at him long enough, yani, I have that kind of respect to the Prophet. So it is, yani, part of some cultures, and that you don't look at your dad, مثلاً. In some cultures, nowadays maybe it's not here, but in some cultures, to look at your dad, it's kind of rude, right? صح? And that's fine, يعني, there's nothing wrong against that. But what about doing here in the culture? طبعاً, we have to try to balance here. يعني, if people see it as rude, then we should look at them. Unless, يعني, as long as you're not contradicting something in the religion that makes it haram. But you try your best. Because we're living here in the high, and it might have a negative effect from the da'wah point of view. Allahu a'lam. Tamam? Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah next week we'll finish.